Welcome back to Sports Day. Nice to catch up with the CEO of the Fremantle Dockers. Our next guest is Steve Rossich joining us here on the program. Hello, mate. Welcome. How are you?
Good evening. Good to talk to you.
Now, first question I got, obviously with the financial environment here in Western Australia, mate, is this one of the toughest years under your leadership when it comes to, you know, the off-field stuff that is so important to footy clubs?
Look, there are some challenges out there in the general marketplace across Australia, but including Western Australia, and we do feel that to a degree, but we're very lucky. We are operating in the AFL, which is the country's biggest sport on almost every measure, and it's the dominant sport here in WA. So we're very lucky. It's a privileged position, and whilst we have to work hard, we've got some very good sponsors, very good partners and members here that are supporting our football club. So we welcome those challenges, and we're facing them quite well at the moment.
How are the discussions going with the new stadium? And do you suspect that you may get the first opportunity to play football at that ground? Is that something that you're aiming for as the leader of Fremantle?
What do you think, Hayes?
I think we should open it, no doubt about that.
I think you're spot on. So we've been talking to the AFL, and the official fixture process will take place a little bit later this season for next season. But we think we've got a really good business case for opening the stadium here in WA. I think there's an opportunity to play a derby outside of round one, and a great business case for us to play here in round one. So we'll keep talking to the AFL about that. No doubt West Coast have got similar views, but hopefully that will prevail, Hayes.
Who would you like to play? Because, like, under this scenario, I'm also of the view that I wouldn't want to see it open with a derby. And look, to be totally honest, and to not be biased, I don't really care, Steve, who opens, whether it be you or Fremantle. But I think what's really important is that we expose as many as possible to our new stadium, and it's going to be the best stadium in the country, as you well and truly are aware of. So you're going for a big club, like someone like Collingwood. Would that be your aim?
It almost becomes secondary, Carl, because the event is the first game. We would like it to potentially be one of the bigger Victorian teams to increase the TV audience that will witness the game, but that's almost secondary because you're right. What you just said then is absolutely spot on. It will be the best stadium in this country, and we're looking forward to showcasing that to Western Australians and indeed Australians in 2018.
Are you satisfied with 50,000 seats? Because I'm led to believe that's what will be made available to our respective clubs to sell to your members. Are you happy with that, given that tourism and government are going to retain the rest?
Well, that's not quite right. So it's a 60,000 seat stadium, which is a big increase in capacity from Domain Stadium, where we're around about 42,500, and we welcome that to increase capacity. So to be clear, the tenant club of the day, subject to the final I's being dotted and T's being crossed on our user agreement, which we're working through, will control the whole 60,000. However, only up to 50,000 of those 60 can be sold by the club on a seasonal basis. The rest will be allocated on a match-by-match basis. So, and that includes, as you just said, us working with tourism, but those seats are very much controlled by the football club that is the home team of the day.
On field, Steve, have you been surprised at some of the kids coming on the way they have this year? You've been consistent and been in a lot of the games, particularly for the last 3 weeks. Has the season met your expectations going in?
We're certainly keen to expose, you know, plenty of our younger players to AFL football and consistent AFL football. And it was nice to see on the weekend. I think there was 8 players that were 21 or under. And we were, in fact, the youngest team of the round. So that's pleasing to see, and we welcome that challenge and opportunity. That sometimes is challenging because, you know, the younger player sustaining the sort of level that you need to at AFL football for 100 minutes for week in, week out can be a challenge. But pleasingly, that's going relatively well. I think last quarters have been, using that word again, challenged because of the number of young players. But it's great to see the likes of Sean Darcy leading the ruck, Luke Ryan off halfback, really getting exposed to AFL football, Griffin Logue, Brendan Cox, etc. So, and may there be many more. And there is a balance for our coaching team because there are some senior players who continue to work and train hard, and ideally we'd also like to get back into the team at some stage. So that's the balance that the match committee has at the present time.
You would have been wrapped with the signing of Nathan Fyfe for another 6 years. From a club point of view, were you happy with the contract length but also the amount paid to Nathan Fyfe, given that you've got to keep some of these other young improving players within that salary cap going forward?
Well, we wouldn't have agreed to it, Hayes, if we weren't happy. That's how it works. But what was clear was Nat was always very serious and first and foremost looking to stay at the football club. His management in Jason Dover were very professional throughout the process, working with Brad Lloyd, and were able to knock it over in a relatively short period of time because both parties were really keen to keep working together. I think we've settled on a long-term contract which makes sense for Nathan, and he can plan out his career at the Fremantle Dockers, and it makes sense for us because we can build our list and our club around Nathan, and that's something we're very privileged to do.
Harley Benner, we've seen him get a game under his belt, which is great news, and let's hope that there are many more because he's a very good young footballer, and we saw some signs of that already in only a few minutes of play. They've changed the rules, though, Steve, on the back of everyone complaining about when he was picked in the reserves game and wasn't played a couple of weeks ago. Do you think that's a sensible change?
Yeah, I do. That makes sense. That was something that we weren't really driving, but we're part of, obviously, because you know, Harley's a listed player of our club. So we'll always play by the waffle rules, and if that's the rule which, as it's intended, then we're very happy with that, and we move on. The most important thing is getting Harley back playing, first and foremost. And as you just mentioned, he did that to the tune of about 60 minutes on the weekend. It was very nice to see, and he was certainly very relieved after the game. And now we look to build a brick upon that as well and get him some more game time this weekend when he plays waffle football again. So he's on that road back to playing AFL football.
In more recent times, the alignment for your club looks to be working really well. The relationship between yourselves and Peel Thunder, I think, has grown, and I think we can extend that example into all the young players that we now see currently in your side. Are you as a footy club happy, or would you still like to, in some way, shape or form, have your own team, which I know was initially a preference? Have you changed a little bit on your view there or not?
Well, firstly, there's no doubt that having your players play in the one team makes perfect sense and is having an impact. And that's probably no surprise to anyone. And it's, we're really delighted to be in a position of now partnering with Peel. It is working well. It's working well because both clubs work hard at it. It is a partnership, and that means working together collaboratively, and if and when you don't see it eye to eye, working it out. And that's something that we'll continue to do in our partnership with Peel. They got the ultimate result last year. They're performing pretty well at the moment. From our point of view, you know, they're knocking some wins over, but also, you know, it's working really well with our football operations team and Cam Shepherd, etc., and making sure that our players are prepared AFL football, but equally, young Peel players have got the chance to get exposed to waffle football and progress their footy. So that's something we'll keep working hard on. It is the model we like at this point in time. Look, who knows? There may be an opportunity to have our own team down the track, but I believe in what's been recommended in the current WAFC report, that is the partnerships going through to at least 2021.
One of those players who was developed under that system is Harley Balick, and I understand you granted him indefinite leave for the second time this season. Can you elaborate on that situation?
Look, I think that statement went out today, and Harley returned back to Melbourne yesterday to be closer to family and friends. Look, we won't be elaborating, Hayes. It is, by definition, a personal matter, and as with all of our players and specifically with Harley on this position, we'll continue to support him the best we can, and hopefully he can get back to Perth relatively soon and get back playing footy. He obviously played waffle footy only 2 weeks ago and then tweaked his hammy, so that's no doubt contributed to things at this point in time.
Yeah, is it like, obviously there's a lot of speculation out there, Steve, and we've seen other clubs have issues with players and they've come out and told us what the issue was, but obviously that's got to be something that is determined between you and the player and their welfare. And is that something that you strongly consider before, you know, you decide not to elaborate further on an important subject like that?
Spot on, Carl. Look, every situation is different, and everyone, you view every situation on its merit. So in this particular circumstance, we're going to stick with the line that it's a personal matter, and that's what it is. and we wish Harley the best. And as I said, hopefully be back here and playing footy pretty soon.
Mate, what do you think your biggest challenges between now and the end of the season? Because, gee, it's gone quick already. We're up to round 18, only four or five rounds to go.
Look, it has gone quick. I think the reality of AFL football now is the challenges come in very short periods. So our first challenge is, you know, preparing for Hawthorn this Saturday night at Domain, two home games in a row, which is nice to see. And they're back in form. They're back playing some pretty good footy. They've got their senior players back up and about, and a few young guys coming through as well, and a very experienced coach. So no doubt they'll be a challenge. We're about the same posse on the ladder, and hopefully we'll get a good crowd on Saturday night to watch that game. So from a football perspective, you know, we've got an eye on the future, but the coaching team's plan is to prepare and plan for each and every week to try and win, and that's what they'll be doing. And then from a club perspective, you know, you've touched on a few things. You've got list management, you've got planning for the new Perth Stadium and bedding down here at our new facility in Coburn. So there's lots going on. It's a good time to be involved in footy.
What about another big key forward? Would that be on the agenda for 2018?
I think that's something that we've been looking at for some time, and Brendan Cox has come onto the list this year as an option and playing, you know, senior footy as an 18-year-old, which is you know, really nice, and he'll keep progressing and learning. It's hard to believe, actually, Hayes, isn't it, that we've got, you know, 19-year-old and 18-year-old sharing the ruck at the moment. So it's one of the exciting things of watching the team.
I reckon take Hayden Ballantyne out of that forward line, the average age would have been 21 or 22.
Look, it is. It's a young group. And look, sometimes that can work for you, and sometimes it presents some challenges. I know, you know, Ross and the coaching team were happy with lots of aspects of the game on the weekend, but one of the areas I'd be keen to see improve and keep improving is just our connection with the midfield and the forwards and our delivery and decision-making into that forward line. So that'll no doubt be an area of focus for this weekend.
Well, they got it in there plenty of times, Steve. They just couldn't get it through that 7-metre opening.
Maybe could have had you. It's been half forward, mate, running around there.
Well, mate, it's been one of the things, isn't it? It's quite amazing how many teams this year in that particular area, it chops and changes week by week. The Eagles a few weeks ago couldn't kick a goal to save themselves either, and many other sides are affected by it. And in 150-odd years of football, it has been something that I'm sure a lot of coaches have pulled their hairs out with. Thank you for joining us tonight and having a chat about a myriad of things involved at your club. Really appreciate it, and we'll have a chat down the track. Thanks, Steve.
Gentlemen, always good to talk to you, and I hope you and your listeners enjoy the rest of this season as we look forward to, no doubt, what unfolds this year, but what will unfold in 2018 as we go to the new Perth Stadium.
Beautiful.